the world's economies run on their supply chains. Understanding them is the key to keeping global products moving. Welcome to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane, a series of business podcasts co-produced by the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. In this initial series of episodes, we explore the current state of logistics. Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is sponsored by HERE Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. Today's episode focuses on air freight. Here is your moderator, Supply Chain Quarterly's executive editor, Susan Lacefield.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our guest is Balika Santhalia, who is a partner in the strategic operations practice at the global consulting firm Kearney. Balika, thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So in 2020 and in 2021, air freight rates were significantly higher than they were pre-pandemic. What is your forecast for freight rates for the year?
It's a great question. And I think to answer the forecast, we should talk through some of the root causes of what drove that higher freight cost. And if those conditions continue to remain, then I suspect, you know, the freight rates will continue to rise in the year. So the key reason, I think, why the air freight industry saw such a significant rise in costs, there were two factors. There was the supply constraint that's taking place on the air freight side, and at the same time, an astronomical increase in demand. On the supply side, as you know, the air freight capacity, a big chunk of the air freight capacity, the source of that is the belly cargo of the planes. And with the pandemic, with international travel, declining, and with the passenger freights, the passenger flights being grounded, that air capacity, the typical belly cargo capacity, that significantly came down. Now, at the same time, on the demand side, e-commerce was skyrocketing. The international supply chain issues with ocean and the ports blockages that required companies and shippers to take an alternative approach and route a lot of their trans-Pacific shipments over air. So there was a significant rise in the air demand from a freight perspective, and that imbalance led to this huge change in the cost equation. Based on what I see, these leading indicators of what impacts the freight rates, I don't think it's going to change, because number one, we're not expecting significant capacity to be added back into air freight industry or freight forwarding industry for air in the near term, because we're still not seeing signs where national travel is going to come back to similar levels of pre-pandemic, or companies are going to add more belly cargo capacity just to carry cargo. It doesn't justify the economics. Although we're going to see companies looking at building more chartered network for air freight, but still, the lion's share comes from belly cargo, so we don't see signs of air capacity returning in the near term, I would say, to the same levels it was pre-pandemic. At the same time, on the demand side, there's significant trade taking place between U.S. and the eastern part of the world, and primarily Vietnam. I think the trade dollars have increased significantly in the past year because of the semiconductor industry, because of garment manufacturing moving to Vietnam and other places. So that continues to rise. And we don't see a relief in the international ocean market. So I think the demand is going to continue to remain high, as a result of which I think the freight rates will continue to remain high.
Great. So before the pandemic, as you kind of mentioned, as I understand it, roughly 60% of air cargo was transported in passenger planes. And when that fell off, a lot of the shippers resorted to creative ways to find capacity. Do you expect any of those options to continue in the long term?
Oh, absolutely. If we take a look at the typical, what's in the mix. So what are the sources of air capacity? As I mentioned in the opening comments, it's the belly of the plane which drives a big chunk of the capacity. The other is the fixed block space agreements that airlines sell to the forwarders, which is also either it's on just cargo planes or it's on the planes which have the belly capacity. And then there's the spot market. pre-pandemic, there also used to be the chartered planes, right? And that typically operated on select routes, which was almost like, you know, an air shuttle, and it would carry only cargo, right, from point A to point B. During the pandemic, we saw that a lot of the shippers got creative, and as the belly cargo capacity went down, and the block space agreements, they're not available anymore, by the way, to the freight forwarders. So as all of these started, you know, getting rescinding or going backwards, the chartered plane network, it became very prominent. And that allows the providers of the service to have, you know, more control, as opposed to bidding for those BSAs, which you can only, you know, get access to at certain times of the year. It's not for long-term access, unlike the chartered capacity, which you can get for 6 months and you can run like multiple shuttles over dense routes. So that, I think that particular channel or source of capacity, it became more prominent during the pandemic. But it's super, super costly. I think like, you know, a trans-Pacific route can cost up to like $3 or $4 million. So not everyone can afford that.
No.
So I would say the large global freight forwarders, they likely will continue to tap into that. The medium, the middle to smaller freight forwarder market, which actually makes about 60%, 70% of this industry, it's hard for them because, you know, you don't have the cash up front for such an expensive option. So long story short, I do think some of these innovative ideas to create more capacity, they will stay. It's going to open more options for the freight forwarders to find sources of capacity. However, I don't think belly cargo is going away. It's a matter of time when it comes back. And as demand stabilizes, I just think that now shippers have more options and they can decide, you know, what's the right fit depending on the density of the route, the frequency of the route, and the kind of product you're carrying.
Great. Another thing we saw was a lot of the carriers retrofitting their passenger planes to be cargo planes. Do you think we'll continue to see that occur?
I think it's consistent with my first answer. There are certain routes where we will continue to see, only a cargo freighter and not a passenger freighter, which is like converted into passenger plus cargo.
Okay.
So I do think that there's an opportunity now. That said, the passenger airlines, you know, they have significantly pulled back on the capacity altogether. So there's a possibility they may repurpose certain airlines, certain aircrafts into 100%, you know, freight or 100% cargo mode. And that might just remain. Certain fleet might be allocated just for cargo in certain lanes. But I think it's just one more option now that's added to the suite of options for shippers to be able to use. I think it's interesting for shippers now when they do a bidding exercise, right? They now have the spot market to go for, they have the BSAs to go for, they have the charter capacity to go for, and they also have the dedicated, you know, fleet for cargo to go for. So I think it opens options. I just don't think that all options are available to full, to maximum capacity right now. It's gonna take some time to build that up as passenger airlines start adding back more capacity in the next 2 years.
That makes a lot of sense. How could rising fuel costs affect the air freight industry and its customers?
It's the same as it affects anyone who's consuming fuel, right? So pre-pandemic fuel was probably maybe 10%, I would say, of the overall operating cost for the air freight industry. Now it's become 25-30%. There has been a significant increase, and it continues to increase as more disruptions take place internationally in the economy. What this specifically does for the air freight industry is it makes the economics of running a passenger plane with cargo, it makes that economics challenging because you can't get a full payload utilization for your cargo in that plane. So I think airlines will be forced to make choices as to, you know, operating only 100% a passenger plane or maybe 100% cargo plane, but that a hybrid model becomes a little challenging to kind of, you know, operate economically or profitably in this high fuel market. One of the other things is, I mean, obviously it impacts the profitability of the airlines. It's going to, you know, it's going to take them longer to return back to full capacity. So if fuel continues to rise, they pass on the surcharges to the freight forwarders, So it passes on to the cost for the shippers, but at the same time, for the air freight industry, for the providers of that service, is going to add some more delays to return back to full capacity.
It seems to be what we're seeing nowadays with the slow with carriers being slow to bring back what they were running pre-pandemic.
Yeah, and it just continues to, like, you know, it's a snowball impact with a big blow and multiple blows coming, but then there's just no stoppage, you know, for some of our customers who are buying these services.
Right. And especially as ocean continues to experience problems, people are looking to air freight as a way to ensure that they get their product there on time.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking a long-term outlook for air freight, looking out a few years, given the fact that more and more companies are focusing on sustainability and concerned about net zero, what effect will that have for air freight in the long term?
It's a super interesting question, and we're already seeing that despite all the challenges that the air freight industry is facing, the airlines and the freight forwarders are making strides towards sustainability. So with the sustainable aviation fuel, and I think I was reading some stats earlier this week, which said that a big chunk, I think it's 50% plus chunk of flights now, they carry some amount of the sustainable aviation fuel. And I think it was late last year, some airlines, you know, they ran a few routes, and I don't know if they actually put passengers on those flights, but at least they were test flights, which ran 100% on aviation, sustainable aviation fuel. So I think the movement is in the right direction. We're hearing companies purchasing sustainable aviation fuel in large quantities, which means they're making the investments, so they're definitely gonna use that. I think if anything, unfortunately, what the pandemic has done is the intention is there to be sustainable and to meet the net zero goals, but I think it's just made the timeline potentially a little bit longer, and it's just added more curveballs in the process. So if you think about the other comment I made around sources of capacity, prior to the pandemic, the air freight services, you know, they were typically used as an express option. And they are the more expensive options, and they sort of continue to remain the more expensive, you know, freight mode. But now customers of air freight users, so basically the shippers, they are adding air freight mode as a permanent tool in their toolkit, if you will, because it secures say you're able to secure certain capacity, you're able to guarantee that service to the customer, and at the end of the day, you're able to secure the supply that you need for running your supply chain. So that said, the shift, you know, there was a significant shift from cost to service and resilience, and companies were willing to eat up that extra cost for the added revenue and for the added customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I think that although, you know, sustainable aviation fuel, or, you know, the efforts to become more sustainable in the aviation industry is going to be probably less profitable or more costly for that matter, I do think that you know, if they were able to pivot away from cost to more focus on resilience, I also think that the focus shifting this focus from cost to being more sustainable is going to happen. I just think it's going to probably take a little bit more time than initially everyone hoped for.
Well, thank you. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Balika, thank you for taking time to share your insights with us.
Thank you for having me once again. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Again, we've been talking with Balika Santhalia from Kearney. I am Susan Lacefield, and this has been Supply Chain in the Fast Lane.
Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is a co-production of the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. This episode has been brought to you by Here Technologies. Accelerate your business with spatial intelligence. We encourage you to subscribe to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane wherever you get your podcasts.